This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Conference official Andy Britton is here live at Stivers Ford Lincoln, rolling his eyes and ready to talk a little football. Andy, we are always glad to have you. Every year you get us updated. How are things going?
Glad to be here. Had a short turnaround after getting back from Starkville last night, working scrimmages.
Yeah, how does that work? Because last night you worked a Mississippi State scrimmage.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, coaches want to have legitimate officials there to, you know, to give themselves a feel and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the only scrimmage you've worked during the offseason.
No, we try and work as many scrimmages as possible. We were at our crew was actually at Alabama last Saturday. Several of us were able to make it last night to Mississippi State, and this Saturday we'll be at Auburn. And the next Saturday we'll actually be at Troy. So we'll be making our rounds. And, you know, we don't want the first time we see a snap of the football in a play being on the first Saturday in September. So we get as much work in as we can, just like the players.
Andy, I guess the big thing is, what new rules or rule alterations or tweaks are we looking at this year?
The big stuff?
The big thing this year is that every other year is when you can have official rule changes.
Yeah.
But this year is an off year, so anything that's going to be changed is going to be safety related. So most of the things this year is just a clarification of the horse collar tackle. You know, that's really they can now grab the nameplate. If you do that and pull a guy straight down, that's going to be a tweak to the rule that it will be a horse collar foul this year. Knee pads, one thing, and here's an example of there are no officials on the rules committee. It's all head coaches, everything from Division III to Division I. So these guys are making the rules. Well, we had a rule that was supposed to be enforced this year. The knees had to be covered with knee pads.
I remember I watched this last year. J.K. Scott for Alabama, the punter. I don't know how much a punter, you know, he gets involved in all that kind of stuff. But it's like he was wearing Bermuda shorts out there.
Well, I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was a guy from Pittsburgh, Pitt. It did look like Bermuda shorts and didn't even have any pads.
I remember that.
And so this year there's actually been a delay of that because when the coaches decided to have the rule enforced this year, it was too late because the pants had all been ordered by football operations. So next year you're going to have to wear the knee pads and they have to cover the knees. So we're going to go back to what we had several years ago as far as a safety issue. And then the other things that the points of emphasis and the
major changes.
I guess the big thing this year as far as a rule change, and again it goes back to being safety. If you remember last year, the guy from Vanderbilt made an outstanding athletic play, timed the snap, jumped over the line of
scrimmage. Zach Cunningham,
blocked the field goal. We had, I mean, for every one of those you saw that worked, there were only two that actually people timed it out correctly. There were about 12 that did not. Had a couple guys land on their head, a couple guys knocked themselves out. Mm. So this year you can't do that anymore.
You cannot
can't run and jump and leap over the line of scrimmage. If you can stand within 1 yard and flat foot jump over the line of scrimmage, you can do that. But that's going to be almost impossible.
What's the call there?
You would have leaping, which is not called very often.
Oh. You don't leaping. Hear leaping in no, that context that's, except yeah. for like the seven, yeah. 12 days of Christmas when Lords leaping. Are leaping.
Yeah. Now, we'll say this. We had the leaping rule enforced when I was in the Sun Belt, and I had it three times in one game against Western Kentucky. So it's but we've refined that. We don't have as much anymore.
Now, Andy, you mentioned you used the term nameplate. Is that where the name is on the back
of
the jersey?
Exactly.
So if you grab that and pull a guy down.
That's now part of the inside collar. Because it has been determined that that is an area that is structurally sound and you can actually pull a person down by the
So, I guess in some instances, if a guy's breaking free and you know he's going to score, it's worth the penalty to drag him down that way.
You've seen people pass interference. You've seen horse collars. And, you know, sometimes it's just a last-ditch effort for guys. But for horse collar, the most dangerous thing about that is you can really tear somebody's knees up because they're going straight down.
Probably a dumb question. Never stopped me before. Jalen Hurts for Alabama.
Right.
He's got dreadlocks.
Right.
Can you pull him down?
Absolutely.
You can do that. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered that.
Absolutely.
I've always wondered why more people didn't do that.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the thing, now, those are really the only rule changes this year. Then we have what we call points of emphasis. And, of course, there's been a big concern on the length of the games. Our goal is to get the games completed in 3 hours and 30 minutes. And so this year they're going to be looking at actually running a 20-minute halftime, instead of getting everybody out there and waiting for TV to come back. When it hits triple zeros, we're kicking whether TV's back or not.
Wow, that's going to go over in New York.
Well, I had seen, you know, we got the communique, you
we
know,
have
for
that
the radio,
issue with radio. We don't have that issue
exactly.
with radio. It's always TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, if that gets the band off the field sooner.
Well, the other thing is we're going to be spotting the ball with the center judge. Instead of putting the ball down and then starting the clock, as soon as he has it in his hand, we're going to start the clock. So we're going to be, for those teams that run a faster pace offense, they're going to like that.
I like that. Mm. Andy Britton, Southeastern Conference official. Couple of questions here back to back. Number one, my wife was at the football 101 right. down at Troy.
Right.
She said she absolutely loved it. You did a seminar about right. officiating.
We did,
then.
Yes, sir.
It's one of the reasons why you're here. Right. You know, because people need to know. People,
right.
I imagine you get unsolicited feedback from fans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you also get feedback, obviously, graded every week on
every
an official
week.
Basis. How does that work?
You're exactly right. Every play is viewed from four different angles. We have what's called a coach's cut, an end zone cut, a high 50 cut, and a TV cut. We have 8 retired NFL officials that watch every play of every game from every angle, starting on Sunday through Wednesday. And then we're actually graded by mechanics. Are you at the right place, looking at the right thing? Did you make the right call? Did you make a no call? Did you let something go and let somebody get away with something? And then the dreaded what we call incorrect call. Did you penalize somebody for something they didn't do?
But there are situations like last year, the Oklahoma State Central Michigan game, where a referee's issue cost Oklahoma State the game, and you know that crew was suspended.
That's right. That's correct.
That's within the power. I mean, that comes
absolutely.
from the grading of the.
It sure does. That can come directly from the conference office.
I got you. There are ramifications.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you have the rules exam, and you have we have the mile and a half run, and we have clinics, and so you're not just walking out there like a bunch of clowns.
Say, hey, who's playing? What's going on?
Exactly. And I'm sorry. The big thing is the point of emphasis of coaches, head coaches coming out on the field to argue calls.
And you and I talked about that during the offseason off the air.
Right.
You actually pointed it out to me. That's not a rule change.
It's not.
That's just a point of emphasis.
It is. And so just remember that a coach can come out on the field. He can question a call. He just cannot argue. It's almost like baseball. You know, a manager comes out. He really is not supposed to argue balls and strikes. If he does,
right.
he's gone. Basketball, you get 2 technicals, you're gone. So just like in football, you can come out and we can have a discussion. We can still argue, but it has to be on the side of the field. You just cannot come out on the field and argue a call with an official.
Now,
you can still come out on the field and discuss it. And
what distinguishes a discussion from an argument?
I would say it's all how it's framed up. I always tell coaches, if you want, and it doesn't matter if you're a little league coach all the way to a college football coach, if you come to official, my recommendation would be if you'll say, what did you have on that play? Then you put all the responsibility on the official to fully explain.
This is why I made
this. Rather than just coming out and with a biased attitude and making sure that you know that he didn't agree with that call.
So just to make sure, it's not like a territorial thing. If
right.
he goes out to the numbers,
right.
then he gets flagged. Or if he goes out to the hash mark, it's not where he's standing or how far out he comes. It's the argumentative aspect.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And we still try and keep people, because just remember that big white stripe on the side of the field is where officials only are supposed to be. Everybody else is supposed to be behind that big white line.
So, right.
We let people come out, make their calls, give their signals, and get back just as long as we can see the other official on the sideline. It's really a safety issue for us.
Where is your position on the field? What are you?
I'm a field judge. I'm on the deep side, usually working with the coaches. So we have to have a lot of winning words that we have with those guys. And we get a lot of practice. And we're back there with the deep guys and the wide receivers and defensive backs and punt returns and those kind of things. Football is unusual with officials. If you can run, they keep you further away from the ball. But once you're mobile, they move you right up on the line of scrimmage.
It seems like that's when you need to be mobile, because that, you know, that drag route or that bust through the line of scrimmage, and you might be in the way if you're standing right there behind the linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned the coaches talking to you, Andy. I see officials talking to players from time to time after a play is completed.
Right.
Usually it's a DB and a wide receiver that are going at it a little bit too long. What are some of the things maybe you guys talk to these players about in between plays?
Well, we're a big believer in what we call preventive officiating. You know, that's why we work the scrimmages, because if they're going to have a foul call, they want to have it done during the scrimmage, not during the game. We're actually having running conversations with the players to make sure that the first time we have an interaction with them, it's not because of a flag or a penalty. Just like with coaches, we've developed little cards and we talk with the coach. They know who we are. We discuss everything from TV timeouts to, do you have any questions, on the last quarter. We have to have running conversations. And so we if there's a hold on one side of the field and the play goes to the other, we're not going to call that because it didn't have an impact on the play. But we're going to tell number 88, hey, number 88, if that play had come this way, we would have had an issue. And you turn and tell the coach, hey, number 88 was grabbing on the defensive guy, and if that ball was to come this way and the play comes this way, it's going to be a foul. So, again, we try to the best game that is when you really don't recognize that the officials are there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to see us. You've got 100,000 people that are there to watch. There are three teams on the field, and about, you got 80,000 that care about one team, probably 15,000 that care about the other, and very few people that care about the other team with eight guys in striped shirts.
You know, Barry, maybe that day I was up there on the sidelines. I should have not screamed, holding on Tyler Love. I probably should have just gone to his position coach and said, Coach, Tyler Love.
Yeah, you got the stink eye
holding
for that.
On that last play.
Andy Britton, SEC official, is here with us this morning. We're catching up on all the things going on.